Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy.
Good afternoon, listeners. It's time for us to chat all things AI. And with us today is our wonderful NACA team member, Marcus, who has some real expertise in this area and really looking forward to this chat today. Marcus, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I am also doing well. Thank you. The world is changing quickly in this area.
It's changing very fast. Every time I get on to ChatGPT, it always changes.
That's what you keep telling me. And I certainly can't keep up with it. And we were just talking before we hit the record button about how a lot of the apps that we just use on a day-to-day basis now incorporating AI really all over the place now.
Yeah, everything has it. I mean, you get onto Teams, you get onto Zoom. I'm finding just websites that says like, we're now powered by AI. And it's just everything is populated with AI now. There's no more like human interaction. It's kind of sad, actually.
It is a bit sad, isn't it? I wonder how many jobs will be obsolete in the very short term.
Yeah, totally.
So tell us what that means. What does it mean when a website or an app says powered by AI? What does that mean at an operational kind of level?
I mean, the first thing that I always notice is that a chat box always appears. And it says like, how can I help you today? I see you're on this page or you're looking at this item. And at first you might think that it's a human. You're like, oh, that's nice. A human is talking to me. They're active on the website, but it's not. It's just all AI and it's very generic. Some are better than others. Some are quite terrible where you ask it a question or it asks you what you're looking for and you tell it and it goes, and then it doesn't give you the answer you're looking for.
Yep.
Whereas others, it points you in the right direction and it can lead you all the way to the checkout cart and assist you with everything. So that's mainly what websites are doing with AI. If you're going to somewhere else, like say Canva, and you want to create images or some workflow infographics for your business, for example, It's now powered by AI where you can text, you can type in what you want. You can say, create me an image about, you know, five steps and how to, you know, better to wash your hands or to stay cleaner during, you know, going through like an amusement park or something just random or whatever. And it will generate a infographic for you with step by step and how to, you know, wash your hands and avoid certain things and don't touch this and don't touch that. Yeah, it's incredible. And it just spits out this image within seconds.
Wow. Blows my mind. Now, we talk a lot about ChatGPT. That's the one that is on the tip of everybody's tongue. Can you tell our listeners who may not have indulged in ChatGPT? Let's start right at the beginning. What is it? What does it do? Is there anything it doesn't do at this point?
Wow. Let's see. Starting at the beginning. So I stumbled upon ChatGPT. I was just scrolling through YouTube one day and I saw this one guy that I know that I met a few years back, and he creates a lot of content on YouTube. And so he mentioned ChatGPT, grow your business. I'm like, what is this? And so he gave like this very in-depth video for a good 30 minutes on everything ChatGPT and all it could do. And my mind was just blown with the capabilities, because he's like, you can create these workbooks. You can write a whole web page with the coding. You can do this and that. And I was like, no, there's no way, like impossible. So I'm just over there on the couch and I'm just, you know, playing with this thing. And I look at my wife and I'm like, you have to see this. And she goes, well, what is it? I'm like, well, it's this AI generator webpage. Like, it's very hard to explain. I go, you just have to see it. And at this time we were coaching, some kids at this international school. And, you know, every time we're always trying to come up with some fun, creative ideas for them. And I'm like, you know what, instead of thinking, you know, by ourselves, let's ask it. Let's just say, let's just put in, hey, we have a group of 10 children age this, and we want to create some fun games for our workout today. And it just spit out like 10 ideas, like instantly. And she just looked at me and I'm like, yeah, this is the world now. Like, this is insane. And so then I started playing with it. I started at that time, I'm currently a PhD student in sports science. And so a lot of my classes are anatomy and biomechanics and all these complex classes where I have to dive into the movements of a golf swing, for example, and to break it down with, you know, piece by piece in the kinematic system and or sequence. And so I just asked it, hey, explain to me the golf movement at a PhD level. And it just produced this huge document that, you know, a whole textbook was basically summarized into just a few seconds. It's incredible. I was like, are you serious? Like, you, like, okay. So then everything just started, bells and whistles just started going off.
Oh, sure.
So then I started playing with it in terms of in business. So for Naker, I'm the process documentation officer, and all of that is just blueprinting the minds of the company that makes it tick. Well, the hardest part when it comes to documenting information is where to start, right? It's like, absolutely, you're sitting there at a blank page and your mind is just where to begin. And so you can work off of a template first, but say there's just a lot of information in your brain, you can just type it into ChatGPT and just say, can you organize this for me in a more systematic way? Mm-hmm. And it will be like, sure, Marcus. And then and it just spits it out. And it might not be perfect. A lot of the information in there is not accurate. It's not what you're looking for, but it all depends on how you prime it. And so that goes into the topic of prompt engineering, which is now a job, which is pretty cool, where you can create these prompts to make it more efficient. So you can program it to be a scientist or a fitness trainer or a life coach. And you can tell it exactly the language that you want it to speak in, the verbiage that it uses. You can give it more of a life background and say, okay, you are a world-renowned scientist focusing in mental health and all of this stuff. And then once it assumes that role, then you can start telling it what to do or what you want it to do, mm-hmm, to create programs or learning material or whatever. I mean, it's based on the user's creativity, really, when it boils down to it, just whatever you can think of and then have it do for you.
So I might just get you to take a breath, and I'll go back to when I used, I have one of my nearest and dearest friends called Scott. If you're listening, Scott, hi. Scott introduced me to ChatGPT prior to the new version. So there's a more recent version that I now pay for because it's so good. Highly recommend. So when I first opened the screen, though, I remember messaging him going, am I in the right place? Because that home screen looks kind of nondescript, doesn't it? I just kind of looked at it and thought, this can't be this amazing tool. It's a very plain looking page with not much to it. Is that what you find? Did you have that sensation when you opened it the first time, or you had the advantage, I suppose, of someone showing you how to use it before you'd gone there on your own the first time? Is that right?
Yeah. Cause I mean, I saw how my friend was using it on YouTube. And so I had a general idea, but you're right. When you go there, it's just a blank page and there's all you see is ChatGPT 3.5, or there's like the 4 option, which you have to pay for, which is highly recommended, you know? but yeah. And then it's just, you're like, well, what do I do? So I've actually showed this to a few people back home when I was just on holiday, and you'd be surprised. The majority of people have never heard of it and they don't use it. And so I think it's going to be eventually it's going to be something that's in everyday use. Everybody's going to be using it instead of Google. I think it's going to be more easily accessible than what it is now. Because right now you have to go on your computer. You can access it on your phone. Like we said, there is a paid version, which is way more in depth and can give you much more intricate answers, and just it pulls better information from the web. But it's just like going to Google. Like, you can ask Google for anything that you want and it's going to spit you out a million results. And that one's easy. Everybody just opens up their phone and goes to Google. Hey, just Google it. And I think there's going to be a time where everybody's just going to go, well, just ask ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And certainly we're doing that more and more often. So just something you raised then, I thought might be worthwhile just expanding on a little bit. Where does ChatGPT, and just for you listening, that's chat, like G for geography, P for, what's P for? Penny, and T for Tom. Where does ChatGPT pull the information from that it then puts down in front of you when you ask it a question?
So a lot of the information is all from the web, whatever it can access. So as long as the web page is not private and it doesn't go against their private policy thing that they have for it, then they can access it. And it also pulls the information that users are putting into it as well, because they might be copying, pasting something from a document that they found or a journal article or textbook or something like that. And they'll put that in there. And now it saves that information. However, now the new update, so like we said, ChatGPT is changing literally every time I get on it. Now you can browse with Bing. You can do advanced data analysis. And this other one that's really fun, it's called DALL-E 3, which I want to show you. And so this is now where it's pulling all the information, because it can access web pages. So if I just go to, you know, Naker.com, and say, hey, I want you to tell me what this company is all about, it's going to give me a summary of the whole thing.
Wow.
And before, it wasn't able to do that. And okay. So now you can just go to any web page and add it in. But you have to select it. So if you're familiar with ChatGPT and you use it and you have the plus version, you have to click on the GPT-4 and then select it. But there is some people who are now being selected, they're just kind of going in waves where it's going to be now automatic just within the platform itself. You don't have to toggle it on or off. It'll just be there. Another cool feature with it is that there's a plugin store so that you can upload PDFs. You can upload all sorts of things there. And they're also integrating that into the main page so that you don't have to use a plugin anymore. You can just drag in a PDF or click the plus button and then select your file and then it will have it. So what I want to show you is, it's a fun one. And for all the Australian listeners, I'm going to screen share this so that you can see it. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into ChatGPT and I'm going to click the DALL-E 3. Mm-hmm. And I've already created just a thing that I want it to do. It's going to be generate an image based on the current date and weather in Melbourne, Australia. And let's see what it does. So using DALL-E 3, it pulls still information from the web or wherever, and then it can generate images for you. And so whatever you want, you can ask it to. Are you seeing that?
I'm seeing it.
Incredible, right?
In real time.
That's in real time. Even tells me the temperature. Wow, it's almost 38 degrees.
38 degrees in Melbourne?
No way.
No.
We'll have to ask. But yeah, so you can just ask it to generate you images. And so earlier I was playing with some other images. I was doing some infographic stuff. And that's when it doesn't get, it's not perfect. Because depending on what you want, it might not generate for you. And so that's kind of the downside. And I think they're still improving with that.
Yeah, wow.
So it's going to take some time. It's not perfect, but what it can do now is just, it's incredible that you can ask it to do that. And earlier I put in another one that said, show me, you know, using the date and current weather, show me Kota Kinabalu, Malaysia. And it gave me this wonderful image of the mosque surrounded by water. And then the Mount Kinabalu is in the background.
Yeah. So. And mate, I'm going to try it with Newcastle when I get off this call.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with Allied Health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horsetopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz today.
Marcus, tell me about things like IP. What do businesses need to be aware of when they're plugging information in to ChatGPT, given that it keeps the data that's put in there?
Well, you never want to use personal information, that's for sure, because even though they say that they don't hold all your conversations, you know, you never know. It's just like anything, social media, whatever you put out there on the internet, it's going to stay out there. There's no pulling it back. You can clear your chats. You can, you can delete your chats, and it says it will erase your conversation. And then the new plugins, it also says after this conversation, it's going to be forgotten. Whether or not that's true or not, don't know, but still, just, I never put in private information whatsoever. So yeah.
Okay, and what about, I guess that covers privacy for clients and things like that too, because we've even tried, haven't we, asking ChatGPT to provide us with a therapy program for nonverbal four-year-olds, and it spat out almost a perfect group program that would have just required a bit of tweaking and individualizing, but gave like the bones really of a fairly solid program that we could use. So when you're doing things like that, you just have to be super careful not to be putting in too much identifying information.
Yeah, totally. And I, for the most part, I don't really think it's that big of a concern, because you're typically going to be asking it to help with your workflow, send emails out. It could be generating images, like I just showed you. SOPs, just anything that makes your life a little bit easier in terms of organizing documents. And I guess that's where it would come in, where you don't want certain information to be in there, because we could upload a file and say, hey, I need you to give me, you know, write me a report on this, but then you forgot that the person's full name, date of birth, and then address and phone numbers in there. And you're like, whoops. And so you really do have to be aware of that, you know, so always double check your documents before you add it in there.
Yeah, for sure. Now tell me, what are universities doing in terms of copyright and, you know, checking that students' work is genuine and that they're not pulling out their 2,000-word essays straight from ChatGPT?
So now what they're requiring is a lot of students to submit all of their, if you're going to a physical school, you still have to submit a Word document of whatever paper that you're submitting. And then online schools as well, so you have to submit your Word document on top of your references. And if you're doing like a literature review, they want you to submit that PDF as well. And then they have a program called Turnitin, which most universities use to check for plagiarism. And then that will give a score. So it can run an analysis across all the databases to see how it, if you're copying, pasting or plagiarizing. It says that it can detect AI, but I just don't know how it's able to do that. I've tried to look into it, but there's really nothing. It just says, yeah, we can now detect if AI is using it. I mean, I can see a document and tell if you're using AI or not, just because I've been using it for so long. And I know the kind of verbiage that ChatGPT spits out. And then as well as some other AI platforms that can write for people. I use that as well. And I can see if you're using that, you know, because there's just certain words that the normal person doesn't use on a daily basis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. What sort of tasks can you see Allied Health benefiting from using ChatGPT or similar apps? Well, how do you think this could help in business or in practice?
So one for sure is writing systems. A lot of, you know, clinics, they don't have really good systems in place. And if they don't know how to write systems, you know, their standard operating procedures, I think ChatGPT can help a lot by just at least organizing. You can just put your thoughts down on paper and just, you can at least have something to work off of. One thing that it does now is the data analysis. You can import the Excel file, mm-hmm. and then you can have it explained to you. You can see trend. You can ask it to give you the trends, the holes within your business, and maybe where you're losing money. So depending on the information you put in there, it can tell you a lot about your business, and that can help as well. You can create timetables. You can create a schedules. If you need to create some graphs and stuff like that, it can pull all that information in there for you.
So if you were trying to commit to the things that take a lot of time, a newsletter that it could spit out topics for a newsletter really quickly, couldn't it? Especially if you primed it. I want to talk to you more about the priming in a moment. But yeah, I'm thinking those kind of blogs, in those kind of tasks that you're trying to get out there to keep engagement with your audience, but they're tasks that take time that you're often doing on top of your clinical work. You know, this is an extra task that you're trying to run your business and also get these extra bits out. I think this is an area that these apps could really help you. They give you some really good bones to those kind of pieces of content, I think.
Yeah, because there's ways to do it where you can have it generate newsletters on a weekly or daily basis, and then it can also send it out as well by itself without you having to do that. So if you're a business owner and you just don't have time to meddle with posting on social media and sending newsletters and all this stuff, all the information that is really worth reading, you're already writing it down on a daily basis, or at least talking about it. And so all you have to do is just feed it a few bullet points of your thoughts and then say, okay, generate me a 300 page, you know, 5 minute newsletter. And then there's ways to integrate the AI into your email so that it can push those out. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I can see this being really beneficial for content generation particularly. But like I said, when we were playing with it, we plugged in some clinical requests, and it did a pretty bang up job of giving us a great starting place for that too. So I really can't see an end to how these apps can be really employed to help cut time, really, really shave down the amount of time it's taking us to do things. Yeah.
The only downside is it takes time to learn. Mm-hmm. And as it keeps upgrading, then you have to stay on top of it. Because if you're off of it for a month or two and you go back in, you're like, wait a sec, this isn't how I had it before. Like, where's that button now? How do I do this? And so you really do have to stay on top of it if you're going to start using AI, you know, in your daily life. And if you don't, you're going to be left behind, because it's moving, and it's moving quick.
Yeah. Well, just before we finish, I'd really love to talk more about the priming, because this was something that I didn't know about until I went to one of your workshops that you ran for the NACA membership group, and talked about priming. And I talked to my friend Scott about the priming, and he asked if that meant you took ChatGPT out for dinner and drinks first before you asked it a question, which I thought was really, really funny and cute. But it's actually not dissimilar to that, is it? Would you like to give an example of, let me give you a task. I would like ChatGPT to produce an article, but not a journal article, like an easy to read article for parents about language development in young children. So how would I prime ChatGPT for that?
So for that, what you would do is you go into your main page, and under your profile, there's a section in there for custom instructions. And it asks you, what would you like ChatGPT to know about you to provide a better response? And then so from there, you can just put in bullet points about all the things that it wants you to, or that you want it to know about you. And then just the key things that you want it to say. And then it will say, how would you like ChatGPT to respond? So if you want it to have a language that's easy to understand for the general population, or for a more specific group of people, whether it's doctors or practitioners or something like that, then you can have it put in those words so that that audience understands it. So you can really tailor that section for better responses. So after that, so that's almost like, yeah, you would be setting the scene for a date. You'd be like, okay, I only like to eat this type of cuisine. My price point is here. And, you know, I want it to be within 10 to 15 minutes from my house. So you would do it that same way. And then from there, you would go in, you'd create a new chat. And then that's where you would prime it even more. Okay, while I'm on this date, I want all these things to happen. So if you're trying to do a program in your clinic, you'd say, here's a setting. This is what I want you to do. I have this client with these issues, and I'm using this method to create a program based on this evidence. And then boom, then it gives it to you. However, if you don't do all that and you just say, I need you to create me a quick plan on you know, whatever it is, it just does something really quick, really generic, and it's not specific. And then you go, that's cool, but that's not really what I was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what I took from your workshop that you ran was exactly that, the priming part, super important to be able to information that it spits out to be the absolute most useful for what you're after. Otherwise, it gives you a really great scaffold, but you have to do a lot of work then to tailor it if you go for that more generic question, which was all I was doing before. I didn't even know about the dinner and drinks part.
I really like that. That's a good one.
So now you taught me how to do that. I'm getting much more specific information is coming back to me, and it's written in the language that I'm more comfortable with, and I'm not having to make all those sort of changes as well, which is really helpful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then what I like to do is I just save all the prompts and the custom instructions in a separate file. And so when I'm doing a certain task, I just have to open up that file, copy and paste in there, and then put my prompt in there, and then I start working, instead of having to recreate it every single time. And then eventually you have this arsenal of prompts and instructions, and your workflow just gets faster and faster. Just takes time to put it in, but you know, you gradually build, and you notice your work gets better and better.
So kind of in the business context, I'm thinking a delegated task, really, isn't it, for either one team member as a dedicated part of their KPIs, or spread across the team so that everybody's doing a little bit. I can see merit in that too, because then you're going to get a real variety of avatars kind of built and, you know, different kind of language and information. I love the idea about building the library, the library of profiles and the library of different dating contexts, really, isn't it? So you've got all your different options there to plug in before you start asking it to write. If you're writing an abstract for a journal article, it's going to look and sound and feel very different to if you're writing on the same topic, but you're writing for parents of children.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally. And so I always have to change it depending on what I'm working on. Otherwise it will start going, okay, here's how you write a paper, step one through 10. I'm like, no, that's not, I don't need an SOP for how to write an essay paper.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like everybody to know, Marcus, before we wrap?
I would say the only thing is, you know, just don't be intimidated with the technology. It's just like when I was just having this conversation with my mom last night when touchscreen phones came out, and everybody said, well, how are we going to text on that? You tell me I have to press a screen. I don't want to do that. But everybody now has an iPhone or a touchscreen phone, and they just got used to it. And I think that everybody needs to get involved into AI, at least understand it, know how it works and functions, and then play around with it. That way you're not lost when time comes, when that's all that there is.
Yeah, I think so too. And it will feel like a long time at the beginning, like it did with me when I just opened it up and it just looked like a blank page. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. So it's just taking that. Just trust me, there's one kind of open line for you to plug in a question, just like Google. Just start there. Just plug in a question into that line and press enter and look at what it spits back. Then you can ask it to regenerate too. So you can say, rewrite this with a more fun tone, and it'll just rewrite it. And within seconds, there it is with different language. Just get in there and play with it. That's my advice as well. And we're not all going to have the skill of Marcus straight away, but we need to know people like Marcus so we can ask the question.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Just get in there and just start playing around with it.
Just have a go. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Marcus, for today. I hope that's been really helpful for people listening in. Please throw any questions at us in our Private Practice Made Perfect Facebook group. It's a really good place to find us, book a power call with myself or Leyland or Kathy if you're interested in finding out more about membership with NACA. Okay.
Thanks, Chantel.
Have a great day.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naca.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.